All the loud people are gone now. I was when we were singing the last song, I was just thinking of in Revelation, it just talks about how they fell down at God's, at the throne of God. Right? You think of in heaven, we will be worshiping our Lord and Savior. We will be worshiping Him with all our heart. In Revelation 5:11 says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom and strength, and honor and glory forever and ever.'" Having our eyes fixed on the Lord. What a time for us to do that. I think of when I've been reading Revelation, and Revelation 2, I've just been redoing Revelation in my own devotional time. And one of the things we really kind of stood, it's like the Lord, Jesus asked, told the church, "The only thing I have against you is that you have lost your first love. You stand up for everything else. You stand up for righteousness and holiness, but you kind of lost your first love." And I think to myself, have I lost my first love for the Lord? Because we get so busy doing what is supposed to be what is right, what we think is right, but we lose our focus on the Lord Jesus. That should be our very first love. It's to spend time with Him. We spend time in devotions, spending time on our knees, spending time praising Him and honoring Him, to say, "Lord, here I am. No matter how busy I get, I want to worship You." So then your love never grows cold. Sometimes our love gets cold, doesn't it? Because sometimes with our own spouses, our love gets cold. Sometimes because we take them for granted. Far too often we take our spouses for granted. We don't say that I love you, or that maybe don't write a note. Yesterday morning before I went hunting, I was like, well, I'm going to write a note and say that how much I love them, how much I loved my family, and to pray for them. Do we take time in our business to say how much I love you? So then my mind thinks of other things about growing in godly character. So I kind of really want to touch on godly character today. So it's kind of going to be a little bit interactive, a little bit. And hopefully the boys have their Bibles ready. Look at that, eh? Oh, we're going to see which one's going to jump up first. So we kind of think of, here's a question. If God can do all things, right? Since God can do all things, we know God can do all things. Why didn't He just create us to be perfect, to have perfect character?
We wouldn't have a choice.
Right. We wouldn't have a choice. He wants us to have a choice. He wants us to fall in love with Him. He wants us to know Him, take time to study His Word, to take time to actually live a life. He doesn't want robots. When we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, He could have took all the hurts, all the pains away. He could have done that. But through our process of reconciliation, sanctification, through sanctification, He heals us. He heals the hurts and the pains. He takes those things that once was meant for evil for good. Romans 8, 28, 29 talks about he uses all things necessary for life and God for those who love him. So do we love him? I think of times we want to avoid heartache. Sometimes we want to avoid suffering. There is a gospel out there that says this is your best life now. And I'm like, well, don't listen to you anymore. Because I don't know what scriptures you actually listen or read or what Bible you read. So avoid those pastors that say this is your best life now. Many of them. Prosperity gospel is a doctrine of devils. God created you to grow in godly character. And so that takes effort. That takes time. That takes some non-avoidance. We can't avoid it. If you want to grow with God and to grow into the calling that God has for you, we need to grow in godly character. Because God will not use you if you do not grow in godly character. Right? You're saved, but we will not go any further. So it's not works, right? It's not works for salvation. It is growing in character to be used by him, to run that race with endurance. So Ephesians 2, 10. I don't know. That's an easy one. Who has that one? Ephesians 2, 10. Oh. All right, let's do this one.
I'm on Philippians. No.
What? Oh, my goodness. All right.
What?
Ephesians 2:10. Okay, Ephesians 2:10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Mm-hmm. So what stood out? What stood out in that scripture? So, for we are his workmanship, right? We are his workmanship. He's working in our lives. When you come to Christ, you don't become perfect. But we're his workmanship. He's molding and shaping us. We're created in Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. Even before we bowed our knee and said, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I put my faith in you. I'm going to put my trust in you. He already prepared beforehand that we should walk in what? His character. That's how he knows us. He knows you before you even come to know him as your Savior. He's already beforehand that we should walk. It's a choice that we should. The scripture says that we should. It's a choice. We have a choice of walking in how he's called us to live, or we could choose not to. He wants us to live for him. That's a choice. So 1 Samuel 6, 7, that's in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 16, 7. 16, 7. I said 6, 7, but 16, 7. Oh, you can't use your phone?
Why not?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I need to get used to it up first.
I gave my Bible.
Didn't you?
Well,
first 16:7.
Yeah.
Come on.
Nothing.
Okay. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance.
Guys. It's a third door.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Amen. So God looks at the heart. We always look at the outward appearance, don't we? We try and put our Sunday best on. We try to look good, smell good, behave good, right? We could always look good, but really, how is our heart today? That's the essence of what God's looking at, it's the heart. Because the heart really exhibits, truly, when your heart is good, because God's redoing your heart, and he's reforming your heart, gives you a new heart, and your attitudes are being changed, that will just pour out of you. That's the fruit of God being revealed out of you. It's his fruit being revealed. It's like, where am I? If I'm not growing with the Lord, you will see that fruit. If I'm trusting the Lord, and he's helping me through things that are not of the old nature, lust and anger, bitterness, resentment, right? He wants us to put those things off. Think of bitterness, how evil bitterness is. If we're not letting go of those things, if we're holding tightly to those things, those are going to be like a cancer to our own life. But God wants us to deal with those things. He wants to deal with the heart issue. Your hearts is our innermost thoughts. It's our motives. It's our attitudes. Really, if your heart's not right, your attitude is going to be revealed in that. God evaluates our intentions. Why do I do certain things? Is it because I want to get something out of it, or is it I do it because I'm pouring out the love of Christ to other people, that I only do this because the Lord's asked me to do this? It's an act of showing his love towards others, because he first loved us. I didn't deserve his love. None of us deserved his love. None of us deserve his grace. He loved us before we even knew him. So even before, as we grow in godly character, our love for others shall be growing, so that we pray for other people. We don't talk malice about people. We don't talk behind their backs. We don't cut down people. Because really, if we do doing that, that reveals our heart. We might not enjoy what the government is doing. We might not enjoy how this world's going. But we pray for those people. The Bible talks about in the last day, there's going to be lawlessness, more of it. So how are we seeing? Are we kingdom-minded focused, or are we earthly-minded focused? How are we seeing things? How is your heart? Right? He wants to deal with our heart. Once your heart is being worked upon and being yielded to him, and things are being dealt with, and we confess those things just kind of don't have a hold or a grip on you anymore. So Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. Did you? I'm sorry that you guys are sitting in front of these guys. 4, 12 to 13.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Thanks. So the word of God penetrates our heart. It exposes things. Right? He exposes things in our lives that brings to the surface of things that sometimes we're good at trying to hide things. We think we are. We're not good at it. We try to hide things. We try to bury things. We try to bury hurts and pains, broken relationships. We try to hide things. But God brings those things to the surface. So those things can be dealt with. You think of how past relationships, how people have been hurt, and we carry on that extra baggage. God doesn't want you to carry those baggages anymore. So he reveals those things so that they can be dealt with, bring restoration and healing in our lives. It's amazing how things of the past can still affect us. How when there's hurt and suffering in our lives that it's not been dealt with, how it affects existing relationships. How we don't really want to trust somebody because of hurts in the past. And sometimes it's even hard to trust God because we have this way of thinking, because we think God's going to let us down or he's going to condemn us. But God doesn't condemn you. He brings conviction. He wants to reveal things in your life that needs to be worked out. So in Jeremiah 17:10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. So the Lord searches our heart. And he says, I test the mind, even to every man according to his ways. So God looks at our heart, tests our mind. And he knows our hearts. He knows what you're thinking. And that's why when we read his word, why his word really speaks to us. Because he knows what we need at every moment. So why is growing in godly character important? So why is godly character important? Why do you grow in godly character? So I'll ask some questions. Why do we need to grow in godly character? Why is it important? You can speak it out, don't be shy. Become more like him.
Work
in sanctification. Yeah. Why is it important?
Use us for his purpose.
Yeah. We don't become stagnant. Right? If we're stuck in our old ways or old habits, we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, reveal things, because we could hinder the Holy Spirit in our lives. We said, oh, no, Lord, I'm going to put the brakes on that. I don't want you to expose that. I don't want to deal with that. We could extinguish, block the Holy Spirit from working in our lives. But he's wanting to work things out because he wants us to be fruitful. So Hebrews 11:6, boys. Yeah. Hebrews 11:6.
Oh,
that's good, brother.
Okay. Hold on. I lost six. Oh, there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm. So we're supposed to diligently seek the Lord. We're supposed to have faith in Him and trust in Him alone. But we're supposed to diligently seek Him. How does that speak? Do we diligently seek Him once a week? Do we diligently seek Him out daily? What's diligently? That means daily. Spending time with Him daily, diligently. Right? He wants us to really seek Him out. And He rewards those that seek Him out. So it's kind of, when we ask, Lord, can you bless me? And I don't diligently seek Him out, how can He really bless me? If I diligently seek Him out, there's a blessing in that. Do you see the difference? We need to diligently seek Him out. So there's a blessing. And the blessing is knowing Him more intimately and more personally. Our spiritual growth is growing with Him. Not to seek Him daily is sometimes allows our heart to grow cold. And when I was reading Revelation 2, you know, I was asking myself, Lord, is my heart growing cold? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves these questions in order to know, Lord, search my heart, know my thoughts, see if there's any anxious things in me. Lord, am I gone astray somewhere? To be really mindful of what He's doing in our lives. Like, Lord, search me. Have I grown cold? Am I not diligently seeking You? Right? We ought to be diligently seeking the Lord because we see the time that we're in. How lawlessness is getting more. How people don't want the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. Matthew 6:33 says, Matthew 6:33. Which of the twins are going to get this time?
Matthew what?
6 what? 33.
Yeah, I guess.
33. Nassif, where's your...
33?
Yeah, 6:33.
No! It's
right there.
I found it. Oh, not before you found it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that shall be added unto you.
Amen. First thing is to seek the kingdom of God. Don't be seeking the things of this world, because they will perish. Seeking the kingdom of God first. So that's why we diligently seek the Lord, to know Him. You start to see how Scripture kind of goes, coincides with each other to say, if you seek me, you're going to be blessed. In Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. As we grow, things will be added on to us. There's a right order in the Bible, in Scripture. Without that, we have disorder. And God is a God of order, not of disorder. Okay. Which one should I pick on? Eric.
Yes.
Eric, look up 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 5-8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5-8. In Elijah. Elijah, look up Ephesians 4, 21-24. So 2 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1, 2 Peter 1.
Sorry. Chapter 1, verse what?
5 to 8.
5 to 8. No, we're not reading yet.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
And besides this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge to temperance, and temperance to patience, and to patience godliness. 5 to 7?
8.
Oh. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that was long.
Good job.
Here, you can have your Bible back.
So what are the things that we're supposed to be seeking? See, this is the things that we are supposed to add on, right? We're supposed to add on brotherly kindness, love, virtue. Those things don't naturally come to us. They don't naturally come. So as we yield to the Holy Spirit, He works in our lives to build godly character, virtue. How about lying, cheating, right? That's not a virtue that is naturally, that's foreign to our fallen nature. Look at kids, they're great at lying. They're not always listening, being disobedient, that always comes natural. But even for us, sometimes we lie, sometimes we're dishonest. Is that the fruit of the Spirit? Is that the godly character? As men and women of God, we ought to live a life that honors Him, to be truth tellers, to share the truth, not to lie, not to be dishonest, not to have dishonest gain in our lives. As we share the truth of the... And look at the church. Why is not the church flourishing? Because sometimes the church can be like everybody who's not a believer. We're called to be a light. If we don't have godly character traits, if we're not growing in godly character, how can we be a light to this world? It's something I think about, how I'm not being a light. What areas in my life need to be dealt with? Right? And as we ask the Holy Spirit to search us, He reveals things in our lives, that things that we need to deal with. Am I bitter or resentful towards somebody today? Am I holding on malice? Am I holding on to bitterness? I think of, when we have past relationships, hurts, broken marriages. We look at even at work, we hold on bitterness, because we might have felt we were unjustly dealt with, or they shouldn't have never treated me like that. Are we holding on to bitterness? And that's the thing we have to ask the Lord, is, Lord, if I have bitterness, how can I really love somebody? If I have bitterness, how can I love anybody else? If I have bitterness, Jesus forgave us. When we confessed our sin, He forgave us. If I say, Lord, forgive me for having bitterness and resentment towards so-and-so. Lord, help me to not have this bitterness or this resentment towards this person. Help me, Lord, to see them through the eyes of the Lord. To pray for them. And to pray a blessing upon their lives. When you can actually pray a blessing upon somebody, then you could actually know that you have forgiven them. And forgiving somebody does not mean that you fully trust them again. That's two different things. Forgiving is forgiving them. Trust is built up, right? So Ephesians 4. Which one did I go on, Elijah? Is it 23, 24?
Something like that, 23 and 24.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
However, you are taught to have a new attitude. You are also taught to become a new person, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy.
Amen. So we were not taught to live with bitterness. We were not taught to live with anger or resentment or have an unforgiving. We were taught to what? Forgive. To live to forgive those who hurt us. Because in Colossians 3, well, 1 to 13. Colossians 3, 1 to 13. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. Okay.
3, 1 to 13.
Chapter 3, 1 to 13.
Okay. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Do you know, when he come back with him, the second coming, we come back with him. That's talking about the second coming. We come back with him. We get caught up. The rapture is being caught up. That's prior to the second coming. So when we come back wearing white linen, robes of righteousness. We follow the Lord, and he puts Satan into his place. Okay.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence.
I can't read upside down.
Concupiscence? I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Where are you?
Right here.
Evil, I don't know. You're in the King James. Verse 6.
Okay. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You are used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with...
Yeah. Put on a new microphone. So you look at how when our hearts are being transformed, it reveals that we're yielding to the Holy Spirit. I think of how godly character is developed by our choice. You look at Daniel. He made a choice. He declared before even he was supposed to eat from the king's table. He made a declaration and says, I will not eat from the food from this table. He made a choice. He made a decision beforehand. Because he resolved, made a decision prior to, not to defile himself. He made that choice prior to it. So that godly choice was an important step to develop integrity. So before we move forward, we need to have this declaration that I will not cross this line. I'm going to choose today to not walk in bitterness, resentment, or anger, or malice, or lying, or cheating. I'm going to make this, Lord, I know I can't do it on my own, but I need you to help me to do this. Lord, I'm tired of walking in these old ways. Lord, I'm tired of having these resentments towards people. And I think of Joseph, right? when he was Potiphar's house. When his wife came after him, he ran away. You think of David, a man who God said was a man after his own heart. He sinned, right? He sinned and he blew it at big times. But what? How was David's heart? He asked for forgiveness. He repented. He says, Lord, forgive me. When we blow it, we need to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. I think of faith. Construction. So you have to, I got some people who build houses. So like any construction building, you need a good solid foundation. Right? That's the first thing. You dig the hole, make sure the foundation's good. Because what happens if the foundation is not good? Crumbles. Right? The whole house is ruined. It's not gonna hold up what is being built upon it. So the foundation has to be solid. And who's our foundation as believers? Jesus is our foundation. Are we building upon the foundation of Christ today? And then as faith grows, we use the material that we have, if it's lumber, one stick at a time, one 2x6 at a time. We put the cross braces in there, put the plywood on, and we nail it good. We develop a wall to build this house. So faith is a process, just like building a building. It's a process of growing, trusting the Lord. As we develop godly character, we start to trust Him more and more all the time. It'd be foolish to say, I put all my trust in the Lord, but faith is grown daily. Trusting Him when He has been faithful to you by answering a certain prayer, by when you tithe, He blesses you because you're willing to know that it's His money that He gave to you and to be used for Him. When we pray for somebody for healing, we pray, Lord, thank you. I pray for healing in so-and-so. And we see how God's been faithful in healing that person. God is always faithful in every circumstance. When we actually see God working in our lives, our faith grows and increases. So will godly character. These virtues flow from Christ who lives within us. He's developing us. Patience is one of the virtues that he talks about. Have patience. If I am bitter towards somebody, resentful towards somebody, I'm holding on to resentment towards somebody, will I be patient with them? Probably not. I probably blow my gasket, right? Because I won't be unloving. I'll be unloving towards that person. If I can have patience with somebody, it shows you that I must be right with that person. But if I become very short-tempered and resentful towards so-and-so, I must be having some bitterness or there's some unresolved issues. You know, it's amazing how patience is used. Lord, thank you for revealing that to me. Because we always pray, Lord, help me to grow in patience. What happens? There's a trial coming. So don't pray for patience. I'm kidding. He's given us the patience. He's already given us all things necessary for life and godliness. But am I going to take hold of that patience? But he's using that patience to reveal things in my heart. Right? He wants us to be right. So are we wearing our old rags beneath our good clothes? Or our new clothes? Love also gains special, because love, man, the English word is, love in English is terrible because it means whatever it means. It's whatever, love this, love that, God's love, but God is love, but he's holy and righteous, right? People say God's the love of God. God is loving. Yes, God's loving. He's a holy and righteous God. He does not like sin. He doesn't accept your every lifestyle. He has virtue. He's righteous. He's holy. That's who God is. He does not want you to live any longer in those old ways. So love, in the essence, it's a virtue that binds everything else together. Without love, patience, kindness, gentleness, and mercy are all show. I could pretend to love you for an hour and a half, and then go home and it's like, oh. But how do I really love you? Do I really want to spend time with you? Do you love spending time with people? Do you love spending time with your spouse? Do you love spending time with your kids? Do you love spending time with family? Right? So love binds all this together. And if it's absent, everything else falls apart. So instead of raging at somebody, be kind to them. Instead of being angry with someone who have wronged you, be merciful. Instead of slandering somebody, treat them with gentleness. Instead of conflicting abusive language to somebody, be patient and forgiving. Don't lie to or about people. Love them. Pray for them. So how do we grow in godly character? How do we grow in godly character? We also need to apply it. Right? You know, and James talks about don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Abide in me, right? We need to abide in Christ. This is John 15. It says, abide in him. So are we putting off the old rags? Are we dealing with stuff that we don't want to deal with? Are we willing to put on the new clothes? So keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated. Seated at the right hand of God, keep thinking about the things above, not the things of earth. Right? Godly character is important. It's part of the foundation. It's being built upon Christ. He wants you to live a life. I think as Stephen. In Acts 6 to 7, in chapter 7, he forgives those people he stood up for righteousness. He stood up towards the people. He spoke God's word to them in chapter 6 and 7. Towards chapter 7 at the end, he says, and they're stoning him. And he says, Lord, forgive them. And he is praying for the people who are throwing rocks at him. To me, that shows godly character. When somebody's throwing rocks at you, are we praying for them? Lord, I pray for that person. Maybe you're the only person they know that is a believer, that's allowing the life of Christ being manifested through you. Right? So let's pray for those who have hurt us. Forgive. Right? Doesn't mean we have to be best friends with them. But release them into God's hands and to trust him. Don't let bitterness hold you back. Father, we thank you for your virtues. We thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word penetrates the very essence of our being. And it reveals things in our lives that we try to bury, try to hide, try not to deal with. So, Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit that you would search our hearts, reveal things in our lives that need to be dealt with. Lord, even, Lord, I pray that you would give us a yielding heart first and a desire to want you to work in our lives. So, Lord, I pray when we get to that place, Lord, that you would put us in a place that we would surrender all to you, that we would desire to surrender whatever you're speaking to us about today and to put on the new things that you have given us. And Lord, that we would pray for those who are very lawless. And we pray, Father, for this government. We pray for the lost. We pray, Father, for this town. Lord, we pray for the sick. Lord, we pray that, and we know that you're going to answer those prayers. So, Lord, I pray that your hand would move through Black Falls. I pray, Lord, that your hand would move through this province. Father God, that you would, people would rise up in the name of the Lord Jesus and to be that light and that hands and the feet that you have called them to be in those areas, in this world, in this province. Lord, let us not be ashamed of who you are in us. Lord, let us be your ambassadors for your glory and your purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.